You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I'm going to cover one story that's in the news today and probably going to get more attention in the upcoming days, and that is the apparent manipulation, if not faking, of the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers that come out monthly. This really should be a wake-up call for everybody, because apparently something is rotten either at the Census Bureau or the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is hired by the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, who's responsible for every month putting out its employment situation report, also referred to as the current population survey, where they give you statistics on number statistics on unemployment. They do two surveys every month, the household survey as well as the establishment survey of businesses. Of the two, the establishment survey is probably the more reliable, because they get statistical information for over 400,000, I think it's about 435,000 businesses in terms of employment information, and based on that number, the key headline result that you get from that is the number of non-farm payroll jobs created every month, which is followed very closely by economists and as well as business people and investors. The other number comes out of the household survey, and that's the key number, probably the most, if you're looking at one economic statistic that's really followed every month, that is the unemployment rate number, the so-called U3 unemployment rate number. They also publish six other unemployment rates, but it's the U3 or headline number that's really followed. Now, this is a story from the New York Post, in which they have documents as well as sources in the Census Bureau that at least one or more individuals are faking the survey results. In other words, they're making up the information. This is a really big compromise of a number that everyone, like I said, in the investment community, business community, as well as the political community, looks at. And what we're talking about is the number for September, the September unemployment rate that was published on Friday, October 5th, 2012. Why is that number important? Well, that was the last unemployment report prior to Election Day. So it was going to get a lot of attention. And the month before, in August, the unemployment rate was at 8.1%. If you're new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K, .wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to all my shows, but at the very top, you'll have the last roughly 30 shows. And below that, you have a complete archive of all my shows. Now, in the past, I gave weekly shows. Now I'm trying to do daily shows, one-hour shows. My Friday show is typically 2 hours or more. If I have a special edition, it could go as long as 2.5 or 3 hours. Ultimately, I'm going to have a two-hour daily show. That's my goal. I'm sort of ramping up to that. And the reason why I just can't do it all at once is we do have other students that have scheduled the studio to do their broadcast. Anyway, if you want to listen to the show via podcast or download it and listen at your leisure, go to prontpops.wordpress.com. In addition to that, right below all those links, you'll see information, or what I call my notes for the day, on the segment I'm covering. And I have rather extensive notes for this segment, because what I did is I reposted my October 5th post on this report just to refresh my memory and to tell you what was happening. This was a big deal that the unemployment rate dropped suddenly to from 8.1 to 7.8%. It's not that it never happens. What got everyone's attention and got my attention, matter of fact, I fell out of my seat, You had a glaring inconsistency. The establishment survey was indicating that in September, 114,000 jobs were created. 114,000 non-farm payroll jobs were created, which is more or less what I was thinking would be somewhere between 100,000 and 150,000 in that range. And that's what most economists at the time were thinking. What really shocked me and shocked a lot of people was the fact that the household survey, which is a smaller survey of 60,000 households, what they typically do on the first interview for a household, they will actually go in person, knock on their door, sit down with the family, the household, and get answers to a number of questions. And on the follow-up, what they do is telephone them for 2 months. So they're in the survey for a total of 3 months, and then they get new people. Now, what you got to understand, one household represents about 5,000 households in the United States. Remember, this is a sample. It's a survey sample of the to get an idea what the total unemployment is for the United States. There's no way they can actually call everybody. So the not only more expensive and prohibitively expensive, not practical to do. So what you have to do is do a statistical sample. Of the two, the establishment survey of employers is much more reliable for the simple reason it's a much larger survey where you have over 400,000 businesses. Now, they do change the businesses, or the employers, excuse me. It's not just businesses. Government as well as private sector as well as charities. So it's employers. And that's why they call it the establishment survey. It's more statistically significant because of the sheer number, and that's why most economists look and pay a lot of attention to that, the number of jobs created in the establishment survey. And for September, and remember, this is the last report prior to the election, it was 114,000, which is not, which quite frankly is a lousy number, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Now, what got my attention back then, and remember, this is over a year ago, 11 months ago, and I forgot the exact number, but I have refreshed my memory. The household survey was indicating that the number of jobs created in September of 2012 were, are you sitting down, 873,000. 873,000. That's unbelievable. That's amazing, unbelievable. It really, truly is unbelievable. Now, let me put in context why. And you're always going to get the possibility of this kind of result because it is a sample. But now what the story is indicating is the Census Bureau were making up the numbers. They were faking the numbers. And apparently they had a bias to say that the people were employed. Now, let me put in context what you need to understand. And remember, every month I have one segment on the Bureau of Labor Statistics Employment Situation Report, otherwise called the Current Population Survey, which consists of both these surveys. If you listen to the show, you know that every month between 130,000 to 150,000 people enter the labor force for the first time. These are the so-called new entrants. These are high school graduates or dropouts, as well as college graduates or dropouts. It's their first job. That's what we mean by new entrants. So it's people that they either quit school or they graduated from school, and now they're entering the labor force looking for their first-time job. You need to do that every month just to keep up with population growth of the United States, because the United States is a growing population. And because of that, you need a lot of jobs created every month to absorb those new entrants. Now, the reason why you get a range is economists never agree. They have reasons for their estimates, and that's why it's called an estimate. But the broad consensus is somewhere between 130,000 jobs to 150,000 jobs have to be created every month to keep up with just population. Now, keep in mind, this is not reducing the unemployment rate by anything. It's in other words, to keep the unemployment rate where it's at, in other words, you're like it's on a treadmill. To keep up with the treadmill, that's what you have to produce. Now, The reason why you get a range of estimates is economists will assume, and there are a lot of assumptions in these estimates, but they will assume a labor participation rate. The normal labor participation rate is typically between 66 and 67%. Today, it's below 64. It's at, I believe, 63.3%. So it's quite low. It's not in the normal range. And over time, what's happened in terms of the civilian labor force participation rate, if you look over a 60-year period or 70-year period, and these numbers started in 1948, the labor participation rate has gone up, up, and up. It started in the high 50s, you know, 58, 59%, and it increased decade by decade, and primarily it started to dramatically increase in the 60s and 70s and continued to increase as more and more women entered the labor force and stayed in the labor force. That's why, for example, when George Bush was president, the typical labor participation rate was between 66 and 67%. On one or two occasions, was actually above 67%. And that's when you were looking at employment rates, unemployment rates of typically between 4 and 6% in that neighborhood. Now, what happens is when an economy enters a recession, as well as if it has a poor recovery, people drop out of the labor force. And the reason why they drop out of the labor force, they look for jobs or try to get a job, and they can't find them. And they get discouraged. They might put out or apply for hundreds of jobs, send out resumes, do whatever they can to try to find a job. And because you have many people unemployed, especially in a recession, it's difficult to even get an interview. So after a period of time, they become discouraged. And here's the problem. When the Bureau of Labor Statistics does its sample, does its survey, its monthly survey, where it's the initial survey, where they go to your house and ask a series of questions about, you know, how many in the household, what are the relationships in the household, are you employed or not employed? If you're employed, do you work full-time, part-time? How many hours? What do you get paid? They ask you a lot of questions. And let's be honest, it's not an easy job, because what happens is you'll knock on the door. As I've been in sales, I know the situation. You'll introduce yourself, and the person you want to talk to isn't there, or nobody's there. So you have to come back. So you normally have a number of households more or less in the same area, but you got to see, knock on their door, you know, leave a card, come back, try to get a hold of them, either on the phone or ideally in person. And then the next 2 months, you call them to see what the status is. If they were unemployed, or are they now employed? Did they find a job? Was it part-time or full-time? Conversely, well, you indicated last month you were employed. Well, I'm sorry, I got laid off. So that's how the Bureau of Labor Statistics gets that information. Now, what you need to know, and might be a little confusing, the Bureau of Labor Statistics hires the Census Bureau to gather this information. So these people are either employees of the Census Bureau or contract employees that they hire to do this, that work in call centers. Now, they're supposed to take down the information on a laptop computer, on their computer, store it, and then another person actually looks at it and determines, you know, what the answers are to compile the data. That's my understanding of the process. Now, what apparently is going on is it's difficult to meet these employees or contractors have quotas. They have to interview so many people every day, every week, every month. So they're under a lot of pressure to get results. And they're not getting the 60,000 interviews that they need. They're falling short. So there's a lot of pressure from above on these workers to get their number of interviews and survey results completed. And apparently what more than one employee is doing is they're faking the results. They're manipulating the data at supposedly the direction of their supervisors. Now, according to this New York Post story, they name an individual that actually did this, and supposedly he completed about three times as many interviews as your typical employee. Well, I used to supervise sales personnel, and I know about how many sales call a person can make. And when you get kind of numbers like this, you know, you should have known, or the supervisor should have known, there's something wrong here. Because while you do have people that are good performers, they're not doing 300% better than the typical employee. That in and of itself should have been a big red flag. A big red flag. And apparently, though, if it were just one individual, I wouldn't be so concerned. But apparently, this is not one individual. And the reason why it's not one individual is because this pressure to meet a quota. And because of that, what's happening is these employees are faking and manipulating the data. Now, what's still hasn't been established is, were they told or directed how they wanted the data to come out? They probably didn't have to be told. You know, there are a lot of them are for Obama, so they know that he needs to get the unemployment rate down. So the way to fake the data, it's very easy. You just say, well, so-and-so, John Doe, said he was employed, and he works so many hours a week, and he's making so much an hour. So you can fake the information, and that saves a lot of time. Imagine, instead of driving around an area, knocking on doors, the people aren't there, you just sit in your car or go to the coffee shop and fill out the information, and, yeah, you could look like you're doing gangbusters. Now, if it's just one person, okay, that's going to skew the data. And I don't know how, and so let me tell you what the temptation is, because some of these people are not smart. Is you're going to duplicate the information over and over. You're going to make minor changes, but you're going to give names and you're going to say they're employed. What they're relying on is nobody's going to check up on them. You need quality control to people. If you ever worked in a call center, and I did very briefly because I was thinking about establishing my own call center, we would we were marketing credit cards. And we would call, and it was automatic dial so that the numbers keep coming up. But after you go through the entire process, make a disclosure, read a disclosure statement, and this could take 5 to 10 minutes because you're talking to a person. Then what happens? It went to an independent third person to review that entire telephone conversation and to ensure the accuracy of the information, ensure that the procedures were followed. I would hope that the Department of Labor, through its Bureau of Labor Statistics, and in turn the Census Bureau, does this. I'm not so sure anymore, because this should have been caught. But I can see that there is a strong incentive, especially if you're under the gun to meet quota, to fake and manipulate the information. And your boss is saying, you know, we really need Obama to win. We need to get the number employed up. So what most people do is they salute and give them the results the boss wants. That's speculation on my part. But what was very, very odd was this big jump in the number of people that were suddenly became employed, if you believe this sample. And I, at the time, didn't believe the sample. I thought it was bogus. There's something wrong with it. It's, you know, something didn't smell right. Now, why? Why? Okay, I started to tell you why. Just to keep up with the population growth, you need somewhere between 130,000 to 150,000. And that's not my number. Well, I believe in the 150,000, but the former commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics on numerous occasions was asked a similar question, just to keep up with population growth, how many people would new jobs need to be created every month? And his answer was between 130,000 and 140,000. He was a little lower than me, but that's his number based on his experience. And I don't know what the labor participation rate he was assuming. I believe he was assuming whatever the current rate is. And that's where I differ. Because you want to get the employment level up and near full employment, which I defined as 3% or lower. Some economists, again, a range of estimates will say near full employment is between 3 and 4%. I differ than that because there have been periods of time in the United States where the unemployment rate has been below 3%. Not very many and quite a long time ago, but it is doable. It's very, very much doable if you have the right economic policies. So point one is you need somewhere between 130,000 and 150,000 jobs just to keep up with the growth in the population. Now, the rule of thumb, it's my rule of thumb, but other people's rule of thumb, and some of them will change the numbers, but the general rule of thumb is if you want to decrease the unemployment rate, and I'm talking about the U3 unemployment rate, so-called headline unemployment rate, you have to have created in a month 300,000 jobs, 300,000 jobs, which includes the jobs for population growth as well as new jobs. That's 300,000. So when the unemployment rate went down from 8.1% to 7.8%, and the household survey was saying 873,000 jobs were created, that's definitely in the ballpark. That's believable that it went down, and that's good news. And you better believe that day President Obama was repeating those numbers over and over and over again. Why? Because when he started as president, the unemployment rate was at 7.8%, and now it finally got back to 7.8%. And I have those statistics on my notes, so you can look it up. So it was a big day. Why? It's a month. Actually, I think it was less than a month, but it was roughly 30 days before Election Day. Now, those aren't really, the 873,000 is a big number. That's going to get a lot of, his policies are working. Stay the course. Reelect Obama for a second term. Now, what needs to be pointed out is, what did the non-farm payroll numbers, what were they? 114,000. And that's the numbers I look at. Nowhere near 300,000, nowhere near enough to keep up with population growth. And there's always going to be a mismatch between the two surveys. And one is ahead of another, sometimes it's behind. And you got to also keep in mind these numbers are being revised every month, sometimes significantly. So this is the earlier preliminary estimate. But I smelled a rat, because here's the problem. With the exception of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, where he had unemployment rates above 13 and 14% until World War II during his entire presidency, with that notable exception, you don't get reelected president for a second term when your unemployment rate is over 8%. And what most Americans are looking at are the trend, is it going down? And it really wasn't. It was bouncing around about 8.1, 8.2, 8.3. And a matter of fact, if you ask the top economists at the various investment and bank firms in the country, their estimate for that month, September of 2012, was 8.1%. I thought it was going to be flat, the same as the month before, in other words, 8.1%. I didn't think it was going down, because what I was seeing is the economy slowing down, which is exactly what it was doing. The fourth quarter was virtually zero growth. I pulled up that chart just to show you at the very, very top. I think that's where I put it. I have the current information. And if you look at the fourth quarter, remember, this was the end of the third. The fourth quarter was almost zero. You could barely see it on the bar chart. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. The quarter that we're talking, what was happening in the third quarter, the economy was growing at roughly 3%. In other words, and the reason why that's important, to get a 300,000 a month increase in jobs, you need to be growing somewhere between 3 and 4%. So you're at the very bottom of that range. And most economists would say, if you want to reduce the unemployment rate by about a tenth of a percent every month, you need to be growing about 3.5% in that range. If you're going to increase, that's to get 300,000. Now, if you're going to increase the number of jobs by 800,000 to 900,000, you're going to need a growth rate in the 7 or 8% range. In other words, about double where you're at, more than double where you're at. So there was that inconsistency with the number. That's why I questioned it. And if you talk to a lot of businessmen, everyone sensed that the economy was slowing down. And it was dramatically slowing down, especially if you look with hindsight now, we looked at the fourth quarter. Now, let me put it in a little context here. This is early. This is October 5th, 2012, when these numbers come out. What was going on? We had starting on September 11th of 2012, we had the terrorist attack in Benghazi, where four Americans were killed. And the lie that was repeatedly told by President Barack Obama, by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, by UN Ambassador Susan Wright, as well as other representatives of his administration, including his press secretary, Carney, was that that attack was a spontaneous demonstration and protest resulting from a YouTube video that was offensive to people of the Islamic faith. That was the so-called cover story. And they stood by that cover story for over 2 weeks. And the president actually went to the United Nations and repeated that towards the end of September. And that lie was repeated and repeated and repeated when they knew at the time it was a lie. They knew this was a planned, organized attack by groups affiliated with Al-Qaeda. In other words, Al-Qaeda was not on the run. They were actually attacking and killing Americans, including the ambassador, Chris Stevens. That's point number one. The big lie in the foreign policy area was that. And remember, in the Democratic Convention prior to September 11th, the president, as well as several other people, said many times, we're the ones that killed bin Laden, and we have Al-Qaeda on the run. Yet on September 11th, the anniversary of 9/11, Al-Qaeda actually killed Americans and burned a diplomatic facility in Benghazi and attacked a Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, annex. And as a result, four Americans were killed, including the ambassador, as well as at least seven were injured, several of them seriously. We were told, the American people were told this lie. Why? It didn't play with the narrative, the story, the spin, the lie. The story was Barack Obama has killed bin Laden and Al-Qaeda is on the run. Yeah, he didn't kill him, but he ordered it. And I could go into details on that, but I'm not. My point is, you need to keep in context. What else was going on? Well, the president was repeating another big lie. You can keep your health plan if you like it, and you can keep your doctor if you like it. He knew that wasn't true. His own administration, his own Department of Health and Human Resources, were issuing regulation after regulation that made it virtually impossible for Americans to keep their health insurance, whether it was an individual plan or an employer-provided plan. And they had published information in July of 2010, 2 years prior to the election, that they expected over 90 million people, I think it was 92.5, I forget the exact number, but it was over 90 million people by the end of this year would no longer be covered by their health insurance plans. They were making them illegal. That's why you're hearing in the news every day of people getting letters in the mail that their health insurance plans are being canceled. Now, that's just the start, because it was the individual market that if you as an individual, let's say you were self-employed and bought an individual plan as opposed to a group plan, and an individual plan could cover you, your spouse, and children. All those plans that people were happy with, could afford, it met their needs, their wants, they were happy with the deductible. All those plans were made illegal by the same Obama administration and the same president that was lying to you all throughout 2012, right up to Election Day. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan, period. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, period. And guess what? Many people believed it. Just like they believe the fairy tale that a YouTube video was the reason why four Americans died in Benghazi. I didn't believe it. I knew at the time both were lies because I do my homework. I pay attention. I remember sitting in a living room. I was visiting a relative in Florida on a Sunday, listening to Susan Rice spout her lie. And I said, that's unbelievable. No one will believe this. And if they do it, they're not going to believe it for very long. What happened was the press, with few exceptions, the big corporate media knew they need to get off the Benghazi story. Except for talk radio and Fox, with those two big exceptions, the major networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, and I need to be fair, CBS had some reports on this. But anyone that was a journalist that was on the scene quickly knew this was not a protest, spontaneous protest. This was a terrorist attack that was successful. They killed Americans. They killed the ambassador. They killed two of the ex-Navy SEALs that were hired by the State Department of the CIA. I still haven't nailed that one down. Now, the reason why they were lying about that is they did not want the American people to know that the CIA was shipping arms as well as fighters to Syria via Turkey, either by ship or airline, to fight in the Syrian rebellion. They didn't want that out. You had over 35 CIA operatives, employees or contract personnel in Benghazi working at that CIA annex, aggregating or accumulating weapons as well as training people to use those weapons for eventual shipment to Syria via either ship, freighter, or airline freighter. And where they would go to is Turkey, and through Turkey they would be transshipped into Syria. Now, what you also need to know is a lot of the so-called Syrian rebels are allied with, guess who? Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda were shipping arms through Turkey to Syria to arm many of those rebels who were allied with our enemies, Al-Qaeda. Yeah, they didn't want this out, so they lied about it. They lied about it, big time. Now, what should have been, and what what Mitt Romney was trying to focus everyone's attention on, and I think he made a mistake by not really zeroing in on what was happening at Benghazi, but that's his decision to make. Because remember, he won the first debate going away, and he should have won the second debate if it wasn't for Crowley misrepresenting what happened. They knew, ladies and gentlemen, the president knew, his secretary of state knew, all what I just said. It was no secret except for from the American people. So they lied to the American people about it. Now we find out where Romney was trying to focus attention is the fact that this is the worst recovery, and it's still the worst recovery, post-World War II recovery. We've had 11 recessions. This is by far. The recession supposedly was over in June of 2009. And we have been growing, and that's why I show this chart. Even though there's a first quarter of 2011 where you had some negative growth, there have been a lot of revisions to these numbers. And these are the quarterly real GDP growth numbers that I have. And I caution you, especially about the last number for 2013. What you need, just like the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers that are revised, the Department of Commerce Bureau of Economic Analysis puts out or is responsible for the real GDP numbers. And they will tell you, and I will tell you, and any economist will tell you, is the advanced number, which you're looking at for the third quarter, in other words, the quarter that ended September 30th this year, is an advance estimate. It has incomplete information. The growth rate was 2.8%. I don't believe that. I think when it's the final revisions are in, it very well might be under 2%. Because I can remember the early estimate for the first quarter started out at 2.5%. And you could look at the chart, it ended up at 1.7, a big drop. So you really got to be careful when you're looking at information to make sure it's at least, if it's not the final estimate, it's the third estimate. Occasionally they'll revise even further, but usually after the third estimate, it's a fairly good number. And if there are any changes, they're relatively minor. Now, what I'm focusing in on, what if the number for September of 2012 was under 200,000? In other words, it was fairly consistent with the non-farm payroll number. You wouldn't have had a drop of the unemployment rate under 8%. It wouldn't have gone from 8.1% to 7.8%. And if you look below, I've put the numbers in. Let me read across, starting in January of 2012, it was 8.3. February, it was 8.3. March, it was 8.2. April, it was 8.1. May, it was 8.2. June, it was 8.2. July, it was 8.2. August, it was 8.1. Then, miracle of miracles, the month before the election, it drops to 7.8%. And 873,000 jobs were created. I call that Obama's October surprise. Surprise! And that was the headline. And all the corporate, oh, isn't that terrific? His policies are working. No, they're not. Two things were going on. You had manipulation. I don't know the magnitude of it. The fact that this has come out is more than embarrassing. This should require a complete investigation. Now, why do I say this? Once you have the corruption of the data, I don't believe government information. I need to say that. Anyone that does this, they take all government information, including these economic statistics, with a big grain of salt. And I have no insights, no people emailing me with information. I have no visibility into what's going on at either the Department of Labor or the Department of Commerce. I'm just a commentator with my opinion, with a lot of background in economics and the business sector. But I had the same reaction as did Jack Welch, that there's something fishy about these numbers. And they are fishy, because the overwhelming consensus is they were expecting little or no change. It could have gone from 8.1 to 8.2 or 8.1 to 8, but the general consensus among experts at virtually every large investment firm and bank was no change, 8.1. This was a big drop. That's why it caught people's attention, and that's why it got on the news. It was the first time he got below 8% for a long time. Remember, for most of his first term, the unemployment rate was not only above 8%, it was above 9%. And this is still the worst recovery. And let me tell you, I highlighted this yesterday, but I need to repeat it again. The most people that have ever worked in the United States that were employed, according to the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, was in 2007, 6 years ago. In November of 2007, and I'm rounding up here, 146.6 million Americans were working. 146.6. Now, where the recovery started, the economy started to grow in July of 2009, in the first quarter. And I provided you those real GDP numbers at the very top. And it's been growing since. There's only been one negative quarter. And I'm doubtful of that negative quarter. Let's say he's had consistently growth. The problem is it's below the trend line. And what I mean by that, the average growth rate for the U.S. economy over decades is about 3.1, 3.2, 3.3%, depending on where you start and end. And the reason why that number is important, you need to be growing at least at that number to get close to a 300,000 jobs being created. And that more or less is what you need to get the unemployment rate down. So if you're dropping 0.3%, you should be very close to 900,000 jobs being created. And if you believe the household numbers, It was 873,000. So that's consistent with that rule of thumb. The problem is if they were faking the numbers, they're untrue. They've been manipulated. And we don't know how many people in the Census Bureau were doing this and who was supervising them. Now, this sounds like a conspiracy. Yes, it does. You better believe, because the reason why I'm suspicious of this, I'm not doubting the story, is in most organizations, and I hope the Census Bureau as well as the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you have some quality control checks to make sure that information that the people that go out to collect is correct. And if this individual was doing three times, as the news story says, was doing three times the number of interviews that the quoters were, he had to be making up the information. And the question is he just one person? Because the story says there were more than one person doing this. If that's the case, their supervisors had to be in on it. You only need one supervisor doing this and directing it. In other words, he's meeting his quota, and he's probably telling him in the meetings or on usually probably under a phone call. He's not going to email this. He's going to tell him, listen, you got a quota, you got to meet it, and we want the employment numbers to really look good because the president is up for re-election. There are people that support Obama in the Department of Labor and the Census Bureau. I have no doubt of it. The question is their integrity, because what my fear is, if this is systemic, in other words, this is more than one person doing it, because to get the number to swing that much, it has to be more than one person. We only are aware of one person. We only have the goods on one. That person should be fired. Frankly, I think he's very close to committing a crime. But one person can't swing that number from 8.1 to 7.8. That's why I'm very reluctant to accuse the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, as well as the Census Bureau, of doing this. Because one person can't do it. And that 873,000 number just screams something's wrong here. Something is broken down. There's something fundamentally wrong with that number. And that number of all the reports that the Department of Labor put out when President Obama was president, that's probably the single most important report and single most important number. And I ask the question, if it just remained at 8.1% or 8%, and the household survey had said 200,000, okay, there's some consistency there between the non-farm payroll number that the employer establishment survey shows and the household survey. They're always going to be different. But as the sheer magnitude of the difference and its impact on the unemployment number, and I had suspicions, and Jack Welch tweeted his suspicions. As a result, he was challenged vigorously by the corporate media that were in the tank for Obama. Now, they should challenge him. He was just raising the question. That number should have been looked at, because it's really convenient and suspicious. I don't believe in coincidences, especially of this magnitude. And this is not the first time I've been suspicious of these numbers. But this one was off the charts. And now today we're learning that at least one individual, if not more, were manipulating and faking the numbers. And see, that calls into question government, U.S. government economic statistics, and probably the number one statistic that you'll hear every month on newscast. And probably the most important economic statistics, especially in an election year. Because had the press been doing its job, they should have challenged this. What's going on? Now, some did. I didn't believe the number then. I didn't. And I know occasionally you'll get a bad sample. I'm not saying it couldn't happen that way. But now we have information that apparently it was no accident. This was intentional. And I'm afraid more than one person is involved. A supervisor had to be involved. And if a supervisor is involved, they're not going to do it to lose their job unless their boss wants it. Now, I need to bring this up. What else was happening? The IRS was not approving conservative groups, Tea Party groups. They weren't sending them letters approving that they could go after donations. as a 501c3. That was politically motivated, and Congress is investing that. Only after the election did that come out. You wonder why you didn't see a lot of Tea Party-related organizations' ads and efforts? They made the mistake of waiting for the IRS that were sitting on all this. And that doesn't happen at the lower employee level. It happens, really, it has to come from the top. That was another scandal that should have been broken prior to the election that wasn't. And the same thing with Benghazi. That was a scandal and is a scandal. This is another scandal, as is the health care, as was Fast and Furious, gun running to Mexican cartels that turn around and use these weapons to kill Mexicans and two U.S. law enforcement agents. We've had scandal after scandal after scandal. This is a corrupt administration, and eventually this will come out, and hopefully people will be prosecuted and be put in the jail. Now, if you don't think you can hide this for long periods of time, I did a post yesterday evening. I had just finished a book, and I highly recommend this book. It's about the Bernie Madoff affair. He was the gentleman that ran a Ponzi scheme for over 10 years, stole at least over $50 or $60 billion, by far the biggest financial swindle in U.S. history. Nothing comes close to, well, I say nothing comes close. He was running a Ponzi scheme where the investors that come in, their money is used to perpetuate the Ponzi scheme by, he would pay it out to early investors. And the book you should read is No One Would Listen. Now, I'll tell you why I'm bringing it up, and this was strictly, I wasn't going to cover this at all on the radio show, but I'm going to cover it today because I was expecting someone to come in that hasn't come in, so I have a little spare time. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five times, this gentleman went to the Security Exchange Commission with detailed information laying out in glorious detail why Bernie Madoff was a fraud. He was running a Ponzi scheme, and the Security Exchange Commission did virtually nothing. I say virtually nothing. They did do an investigation and slapped Bernie Madoff's hand, because he wasn't a registered investment advisor. The way it worked is he would get money from hedge fund managers that were running so-called funds of funds. They invest in other hedge funds. And these were feeder funds into him. Except for the managers of those hedge funds, those funds of funds, or FOFs, the investors didn't know about it, and even the industry didn't know about it, that Bernie Madoff was running, investing the money. And he had unbelievable returns. And that's why Harry, I have trouble saying his name, but I have great respect for the guy. I really salute the guy. I'll also post my notes for him so he can read the book. I recommend reading the book, because he was one gentleman. He had other people on a team of about four people, including him, five, that over a decade compiled more and more information, repeatedly went to the SEC, and repeatedly the SEC did nothing. And as a result, many lives were devastated. Many people lost all their money because they trusted Bernie Madoff. They couldn't believe he was a crook. That's what he was doing. He's in jail, ladies and gentlemen, today. It took over 10 years. And the only reason he ever got caught was because of the financial crisis of 2008. And finally, and who caught him? He turned himself in. He told his sons, who I believe at least one, if not both, were in on it, that he was running a Ponzi scheme. It was a fraud. And they went to the FBI. And the FBI came to his door and arrested him, and now he's in prison for the rest of his life. He should be. He destroyed many, many lives. Many lives. Millions of investors. Now, what you need to understand is why Harry, I'll try to pronounce his name, Markopoulos, is probably wrong, look at my notes. I think it's Markopolis. I might have the spelling wrong. I just don't have that post up on my screen. Read his book. Go out and read his book. Also, before you do that, listen to some of the videos. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up is you have in the financial service industry people that are crooks, that are stealing. And some of these are financial institutions. You have massive fraud going on. Fraud is where you have material misrepresentation of important facts. In other words, you're lying about something that's important, like your investment performance. You see, Bernie Madoff, he wasn't investing the money. He was just handing the new investors' money to the old investors. I don't want to get on the details of what a Ponzi scheme is, but that Nessus is what it is. And you have the appearance of outstanding performance that many people in the industry knew that Bernie Madoff was a fraud. In other words, don't invest your money with him. Don't trust him, because they knew that he couldn't have this performance. It's unbelievable, his performance, like the unbelievable drop from 8.1 to 7.8%. It's unbelievable. Now, if you went to Bernie Madoff and try to ask some questions, which you should when you're doing due diligence, his reaction was this. Listen, I have many, many investors. I don't answer questions. If you want to answer all these questions, keep your money. I don't want your money. You know, I'm successful, but if you're going to keep asking me all these questions, take your money. I'll return it today. I don't need your money. Now, what motivates many of these people is greed, because he was giving returns of over 1% a month consistently. He had very few, if any, down months. I think he had 3 or 4 in over 10 years. That's unbelievable. And that's why I say people that are sophisticated investors that know what they're doing knew that Bernie Madoff was a fraud and to stay away from him, and many of them did. Many of them didn't, though. And why did they keep sending their money to? Because they kept getting that 1% or more return every month. You had very little down in if you believe what Bernie was sending you. You had very few months of negative returns, hardly any. And the odds of that happening are zero. It was a fraud. It was a Ponzi scheme. And Harry was right. And after 5 times going to the SEC, there are 2 reasons why Bernie Madoff is in prison today. The financial markets crashed in the end of 2008. So he couldn't keep the Ponzi scheme going, and he admitted it. He confessed. He's in prison today. He took all the blame. Now, what do I need to say? You can't run a Ponzi scheme with one person. There are many other people that were involved. You better believe it. And I think some of his family members were involved, too. Now, there are others, many of the employees, not all of them, but most of them, that worked for his broker-dealer. They were a major market maker, major broker-dealer, big volumes. They were totally unaware of this, as was most of the professionals on Wall Street. Not all, but many. He was a well-respected member of the community. And that's why people gave their money and trusted their money to him. Very similar, they gave their trust to Barack Obama. But Bernie was a great liar. He was smooth, and he wasn't greedy. And why do I say that? Why were these hedge fund managers that were running funds of funds, that was their strategy. They would invest in other hedge funds. Most of it was with Bernie Madoff. Why did they keep sending the money to him and really were marketing their hedge fund so they could send it to him? Greed, folks, because generous Bernie would give most, not all, would give most of the fees back to the hedge fund. He wasn't greedy. He could have kept a lot more money, but he didn't, because he needed more and more money. See, and that's sort of the, how should I say this? In a way, it's smart. Because what did it do? It really motivated those hedge fund managers to get other investors involved so they could send the money to Bernie and earn the way a hedge funds work that you might not be familiar with, they get a 2%, it's negotiable, folks, but typically of 2% plus 20% of the profits. Now, as long as Bernie kept on continuing to do this, all the funds that were investing with Bernie, they made out well until Bernie's Ponzi scheme were revealed, and then they were broke because they, all their investors were wiped out. These hedge funds were wiped out, and Bernie was wiped out and in prison. Now, I bring this back to what's now being disclosed today, that apparently one or more people in the Census Bureau were faking the numbers. I don't believe it's one or two people. To have this type of swing, it's a number of people, and it's systematically skewing it. It has to be that way. And this, just like the SEC, was really embarrassed, more than embarrassed. People were fired and had to resign. The SEC wasn't doing its job, was not doing its job over many years, over many people. They were incompetent. Some are, you know, honest. Well, the biggest problem is this, and I've seen it, and Harry, I was in the financial services industry, so I understand what he's talking about. A lot of the people that work for the SEC are lawyers. Their knowledge of finance is minimal. They have very little practical experience. They work for the SEC for a few years. These are the people that actually go out, investigate, do the orders, the audits. And most of them are looking for jobs in the financial services industry after they've completed their couple of years with the SEC. And Harry tells the story that when these people go to Bernie Madoff's broker dealership, can I fill out, do you have an application? I'd like to fill out an application to maybe work for you. The problem is they literally don't have the financial sophistication that they need to really do this investigation. In other words, Bernie Madoff can snow him, and he's very, very good at it. He's a very good con man, confidence man, con man. He gets your confidence. And the reason he has confidence, he snowed and lied to tens of thousands of people. But in perspective, he's small potatoes. The bigger con was President Obama. He was also telling lies, and many people believed him, about Benghazi, about what was happening in the economy, about health care, about Fast and Furious, about, I didn't know the IRS was doing this, delaying the letters so that the Tea Party could run ads. Guess who the ads would be against? Yes, Barack Obama. The IRS was deliberately politicized, and just a simple, And just like the SEC never really did its job, what is the White House today doing about Benghazi? They're stonewalling. They're covering up. They're still covering up. Because what the Congress wants to do is to get the 35-plus people that were in Benghazi to testify as to what happened on September 11th and September 12th. And why were you there? What was your mission? Why was security not up to snuff? Why did four people die? These are the people that actually were attacked. It's simple why the White House, as well as the State Department, don't want these people, and the Central Intelligence Agency doesn't want these people to testify. Because what comes out? The United States, at President Obama's direction, has been shipping arms, including shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles, to Syrian rebels. They don't want to confirm or deny that at all. That what needs to come out. So lies were told, and they're told today, and this is just another lie. And as a result, President Obama got reelected. What's the motivation here? Not hard to understand. President Obama wanted to get reelected. So he wasn't going to tell the truth of what happened in Libya and Benghazi. He wasn't going to tell the truth about health insurance. Namely, you can't keep your health insurance plan and you can't keep your doctor. He wanted to make sure that the unemployment rate was going in the right direction, namely down, but under 8%. Mission accomplished on all of those. And now we're finding out, looks like the books were cooked. The only thing we don't know is the extent of this. And it'll probably be months, if ever, that we ever know the true story. And now, amongst economists, as well as the general public, there's a big question mark on these numbers. And that's sad, because my opinion is most, not all, but most of the people that work for the government, including the Department of Labor, including the Department of Commerce, are people of integrity, good intentions and integrity, and hard workers. But it only takes a few, either incompetent or corrupt people, rotten apples,
to ruin the reputation of the Department of Labor and other agencies. I think we have corruption, widespread corruption. Much of it, not necessarily all of it, but much of it starts in the White House with the president and goes into other agencies. And they're covering up their lies. They're covering up your you-know-what, and they're lying to you. That's what's going on. And that's sad, because when I got up today, I didn't expect this story at all. It surprised me. But at least somebody is digging, and that's what you need. You need reporters to do their jobs, to investigate, protect their sources, and get the information. This is just another scandal, another scandal. How many more scandals are we going to get before we impeach this president? And I know, many, if not most, oh, we can't impeach him. He's a black man. We can't impeach the first black president. Don't even bring it up. Don't even try, because, yes, the House can impeach him, but the Senate is controlled by the Democrats, and they won't convict him. There are frankly too many scandals after scandals after scandals piling up. Remember that line from, I think it's The Godfather, the fish rots from the head. The fish rots from the head. Something is rotten in government. Corruption, and it's not just the Democratic Party, it's also the Republican Party. I'm not going to go there yet. So if you've never been suspicious of government statistics and taken with a grain of salt, now you will. And you can see how they were manipulating it. You need probably a dozen of these interviewers making sure the results said, hey, when you ask, are you employed? Oh, yeah, we'll say they're employed. And this is major, folks. You don't get a swing like that or an increase of the number of jobs like that. There are many people involved in this. The question is, what is the breadth and the scope of this? Because I can see where supervisors and their supervisors could bring a lot of pressure on the people in the field to do exactly what they did. And what you do is you find, listen, there are always going to be employees that'll bend the rules, that lack integrity, and if the boss wants something, they give it to them. Even that means cutting corners or faking information and manipulating information. And remember, this was happening 2 months prior to the November election of last year. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Prop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. I'll be on the air at my regular schedule from 4 to 5 on Wednesday and Thursday, and I'll have a 3 to 5 program on Friday, my weekly wrap-up. Thank you for listening. Now back to the music.